Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I always believe when you're buying your own home, that's a good tip, is you need to think of it as an investor, because it's a massive investment and you can make significant wealth off your family home if you choose right.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyron Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking to Karen Young, who will share her journey starting as a nurse in Melbourne and juggling motherhood with running a buyer's agency and podcast. Find out how she maintains impressive yields from quality investments and how she makes a small portfolio work for her. Karen Young is the host of property investing show called Everyday Property Investing that was started in 2010. She also runs a buyer's agency and property management business in Brisbane. Young shares with us a typical day.
I do a lot of things. I exercise. I drive a lot. I analyse people's requirements and locations. I go and inspect houses. I make offers. I organise things. So I organise clients and agents and contracts, and I talk on the phone a lot, I email a lot, and I manage people. So I pack a lot into every day, and it's different every day.
Wow. And you've also got a family of kids as well too.
So I do, yeah. So I didn't know if you wanted to talk about personal stuff, but yes, I also wrangle some children at the same time.
She understands that as an investor and a mother, patience is key, and unnecessarily worrying about what may or may not happen will get you nowhere.
I'm pretty relaxed, actually, as a property investor. I think over having done it for quite a number of years, initially I was very stringent about what strategy I was doing and what I was looking for, and now I'm a lot more relaxed about it. I've realised that over time your strategy actually evolves and changes and morphs, and a lot of that is based on where you're at in life. So what was relevant for me, 8 or 10 years ago is not as important now. And you have to adjust with those changes in your life. You can't do a strategy that's very time intensive or money intensive when you've suddenly, had young kids and you don't have time and money. So, I think I'm a lot more relaxed as an investor.
This relaxed attitude can have big payoffs when the perfect property that you've been waiting for simply falls into your lap.
Nowadays, at the moment, I'm actually looking for a property, which we might talk about a bit later. But I just I'm not as desperate for a deal. I can look around because I'm looking at property every day. I'm fortunate enough that I will stumble across an amazing deal, and I'm in a position now where I can just grab it if I wanted to. So it's a nice position to be in.
Moving around Melbourne in her youth, Young was exposed to the different qualities and drawbacks of properties all over the city.
I grew up in Melbourne and on the outskirts, on the northern suburbs of Melbourne, and moved around quite a few places within Melbourne in my early adulthood. I lived overseas for a while. I lived in London for about 4 years, and then I came back to Australia. So essentially I'm from Melbourne, but now I'm a Queenslander through and through, because there's no way I'm going back to that cold.
Property investing was never the plan for her, who began her career in the totally alien field of healthcare work. It took returning home from overseas for her to realise the value of owning property and having her own extra source of income for the future.
Look, I've always kind of liked property, but to be honest with you, I was just doing what people do. I was living life and, you know, I was traveling and I worked and did it bits and pieces. And I didn't really seriously think about investing in property till quite late, till I was sort of about to turn 30, I think, and suddenly decided, oh, I need something in life that's like a future type thing. But up until that point, I really hadn't given it a lot of thought. And I think now, you know, a lot of times when you ask people advice, they say, what's the one thing you wish you could change? And it's, I wish I had started earlier. And, you know, I'm no different. I wish I had started earlier. But alas, as long as you wake up at some point and start doing something at some point, that's the main thing really. So, yeah, I really wasn't that into it until I was probably about 30. And realistically, I came back from living overseas and I realized, you know, I'd been spending money and, you know, traveling and doing all those great things. But then I realized it was time to really get started to think about something for the future. And buy something of my own. So I did. I bought a little flat in Melbourne. It was a one-bedroom flat in Carnegie, actually. And, you know, I did all the mistakes and I paid too much money for it and I listened to what the agent told me to offer on it and did what they said and I did all of that. But even then I sort of bought that and sat on it for a bit and I didn't really do much seriously. I bought this and I sat on it and I still wasn't really – that into it. And it wasn't until I had kids a little bit later that I then really started to learn and understand and realize that I needed to, you know, start setting some goals and start working towards something. I just bought something early on because I felt like that was the thing you did when you were about 30. You bought a house or a flat or something. But then it wasn't, yeah, 2 years later that I actually went, no, hang on a minute, I need to be planning for the future here.
She was then inspired to start her property investment journey due to the lack of property investors in her life.
I think one of the driving factors for me getting involved in property in a more serious manner and really taking some time to learn and, you know, reading and seminars and expos and talking to people and actually really understanding property, one of the drivers for that was my parents, but not perhaps for the reasons that you think. Mm-hmm. So they weren't property investors. They, you know, worked their whole lives to pay off the mortgage on the one house, and they actually split up then. And, you know, so they kind of, you know, they both have ended up now. They're both, you know, retired and they live on a pension. They don't have investments. And it was really seeing them work hard their whole lives to really end their working lives with not much to show for it other than, you know, this one house that they paid off and then had to split between them and stuff. So that did inspire me to actually go, well, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to work my whole life to pay off a property and then really have nothing much at the end and then end up on a pension trying to be supported by the government, which, you know, pension is not a lot of money. Mm. And it was that was the inspiration for me really getting into it.
Young believes that it doesn't matter where you get your inspiration from, whether from friends or family or no one at all, as long as you hold on to that inspiration.
I don't think it matters where your inspiration comes from either. Like, you know, I didn't come from an affluent family, but that inspiration still came from there. And I've got a friend of mine, Claire, and she was on our show actually really early in the piece. And I've also had her dad on the show. And it was funny because when she grew up, her mum and dad, they invested, they bought about 10 properties all around Mount Waverley, Glen Waverley in Victoria, which is really expensive now. Mm. And like she was inspired to invest in property from her parents investing. But, you know, essentially as long as you get there in the end, doesn't matter where you take that inspiration from.
This late inspiration resulted after years of working as a nurse overseas, a career that she also feels very passionate about.
I've had lots of jobs, actually. I've sort of done 10-year stints at different careers. So the first thing I did out of university, I actually studied nursing and I worked as a nurse. So I was an intensive care nurse for about 10 years.
Wow.
I worked overseas as a nurse in London and also in some of the major hospitals in Melbourne. And that was an amazing time. I loved the technology of it, to be honest with you. I was in intensive care and I loved all the machines that went beep and understanding all the physiology of people's bodies and the way that you could manipulate, you know, inspiratory pressure on a ventilator and it would change this physiology over here and things like that. So that was really cool. And I did that for about 10 years. And I did some study, you know, some postgraduate study in that as well. And then after that, I liked all those machines that went beep so much that I decided to do a grad dip in information technology. And then I actually went on and did a master's in information technology. So I then worked in IT for about 10 years and actually took that knowledge I had from the clinical sort of side of things and worked in clinical and medical IT related fields. So I'd write software specifications for clinical information systems and things like that. So that was really interesting. And then I did that for about 10 years as well. And then I really thought that I wanted to do something that I was really passionate about, and property was my hobby and my passion. And at that point, I'd already started the podcast, Everyday Property Investing. And so I was doing that, and I wanted to make a way that I could turn property, my passion, into what I was doing every day. And so I looked at different, property-related occupations. And in the end, I thought a buyer's agent would be the right thing for me. And so I'm a very analytical person, and I like, the analysis side of property. And so that was a really good fit. And that's when I started the business. And that's been, going great guns. We've been buyer's agent of the year for the last 2 years. We've been a finalist again this year. We've, won Telstra Business Awards and things like this. So it's been a really, really good ride. Still wow. Loving it.
Young's knowledge and experience in IT gathered during this time was a major factor in the success of her current business.
We use all of these amazing IT systems, and that's just having like everything you do leads you to somewhere else, in my view. And so all of that IT knowledge, there's no way I could have set up and made this business what it is if I didn't have that knowledge. Yes, you can make a successful business without, having IT knowledge. Mm. You can bring in that knowledge. But for me, we're in a position where we had to start it with very little capital and really get it, all the marketing and all that. So, I made the website, I did all the videos and, all of this sort of stuff, all the marketing, I had the knowledge to do all that stuff. So it was really everything that you do sort of leads you to somewhere. Although it is funny though, when clients ask, a lot of clients or potential clients will say, what qualifications do you have? And the funny thing is, as a buyer's agent, there's very little qualifications that you actually require to work as a buyer's agent. So when they say, what qualifications do you have? And I give them a list of all of these bachelors and masters and this and that, and they're all not property related at all. But, realistically, you need a certificate for in real estate to be a real estate agent. So, sometimes life experience and those experiences are more important.
With this background in IT, she also has a recommendation for useful software that property investors can use to help them organise and manage their projects.
I'll give you one basic one. This is a really simple thing, but to me it is absolutely vital. And I use this not just for the business and the buyer's agent. I use it for projects. So if you're doing a property-related project, say you're deciding that you're going to make your next purchase, I use a project management system called Asana. And Asana just organises my life. I organise my life in Asana. If it's in Asana, it will get done. And it also helps me to unload the things that are all in my head so that I can actually, when I have time off, I can relax because I know I don't have to remember all these things that have to be done there in Asana. So to me, I think Asana is an amazing tool that you can use to, and it's basically, you write to-do lists. Essentially, a project management system is essentially a bunch of to-do lists to do with a project. So if you've got a project, for example, your next property purchase, you can put that in Asana and go, okay, what's the next steps I need to do to make this happen? And then when you put it in there and you put a date next to it and it's sending you an email to remind you you needed to do it, they're the things that push you forward and make you do things. So I think so many people say, I wish I had have invested, or I've been looking to invest, but I just get busy and all that sort of stuff. If you don't write it down and make it a task in your life, then often it just gets pushed to the side because we're all busy.
Coming up after the break, we will hear how Young educated herself in property investing.
So I went to a lot of seminars and I did a lot of reading. I read magazines, I read books.
How strategies and goals can change over time.
15 by 50 was my mantra. I wanted 15 properties by the time I was 50. And that was my mantra. And nowadays, as I said, I'm a bit more relaxed these days. And I realise that it's not about the number. You don't need 15 properties. And it's not about how many properties you have at all.
As well as how dwelling on mistakes can only lead to more mistakes.
That was a terrible thing, a terrible purchase that happened or whatever. I sort of take it all as learning and then move forward.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum and you're listening to Property Investory. The first property that Young bought was never meant to be an investment, but rather the step that is expected by all young couples of buying a first home.
So I sat on that property and I still wasn't really in the property investor's mindset at that point. I just bought it because I thought that's what you do when you're turning 30. So I did. I just bought it and I actually lived in it. I got a first home on a grant and I lived in it. It was just a tiny little one-bedroom flat. And then, you know, a few years later, and I actually had a partner, had a baby on the way, and we thought, well, we need a family home. So we decided to sell that property. It hadn't made massive capital growth, but it had some. But it was enough that, you know, it was enough that it leveraged us into a family home. So we bought a family home. And I actually still own that house in Melbourne now. It's a rental property now. But we bought that house. And then and that was when I really, after we had the baby, I really started to get involved and educate myself. So I went to a lot of seminars and I did a lot of reading. I read magazines. I read books. There was a couple of books I really liked. Margaret Lomas's book really resonated with me at the time. I think it was How to Create an Income for Life.
As we've seen with previous guests here at Property Investory, it seems that the spreadsheet is king when it comes to narrowing down potential suburbs and properties.
I think even one of the Steve McKnight ones, I think how to go from zero to a million properties or whatever it is in 2 minutes. But at the time, those books really resonated with me. And the other one that I really liked was Robert Kiyosaki, Cash Flow Quadrant. So a lot of people, you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad is, you know, a favorite of everyone, but I reckon Cash Flow Quadrant is the best. So that one, those were sort of inspiring books. And I learned lots and lots. And that was when we actually went, okay, now we're going to consciously invest in property. And we actually went and joined an investing group at the time. And that was really good because we surrounded ourselves with like-minded people and people who knew stuff about how to do it. And then we actually made an investment property purchase. And when I say we made an investment property purchase, I did massive amount of analysis because that's, you know, I had a spreadsheet and I put all the suburbs in Australia in this spreadsheet.
Wow.
And like narrowed them down on vacancy rates and yields and this and that and blah, 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 until I had this short list of property areas that fit the criteria. And then we went and bought a property. So I actually bought a property in Melton in Victoria, which is like outskirts of sort of Melbourne. Mm. And we bought this sort of property that was a little bit run down, and we did just a minor sort of spruce up on it, and we put tenants in it, and that was cash flow positive from day one. And it also actually had a bit of development potential on it as well, which I didn't realize until later on. So that was interesting. We bought that, and then it was a matter of I really wanted to buy sort of one a year type thing. I had this goal in my head, 15 by 50 was my mantra. I wanted 15 properties by the time I was 50. And that was my mantra. And nowadays, as I said, I'm a bit more relaxed these days, and I realize that it's not about the number. You don't need 15 properties, and it's not about how many properties you have at all. Mm. It's actually about the quality of properties or what you do, and depends on the strategy you're using. Like, you know, two really well-placed properties with great capital gain could set you up for life, the same way that 15 properties could with a different strategy. So I'm one of these, you know, one size doesn't fit all type, you know, many ways to skin a cat investor, I call it. So I think there's many ways to make money out of property. And so we then started buying roughly about a property a year. We looked at different strategies. So we looked at renovation, and we did a renovate, subdivide, sell, down in Traralgon, which is regional Victoria. In that house in Melton, I went to a development seminar and I learned about development. And then I looked at one of the first things they said was, look at the properties you already have. And I thought, hey, yeah. So I looked at one and I thought, you know what, we've got that property there on a corner block with a big backyard. Why don't we see what we can do there? So sure enough, we could actually build a three-bedroom townhouse on the back of it. We didn't build it, mind you, but we did go down the process of getting all the approvals and everything. And then we on-sold with the approvals.
There is always the risk that investments will not yield huge profits, as Young discovered.
I don't think there was a massive profit in it, to be honest with you, because I just don't think, I don't know why people would give you an approval to build a three-bedroom townhouse on the back of a 450 square metre block. Tiny.
That's tiny, I was going to say. Even in Sydney, to get a 450 square metre block is tiny on a house. So I don't know how you managed to fit something like that in.
And everything on the back. So, but, you know, these are all part of the learning. And so, yeah, in the end, we ended up with sort of, I don't know, I think we had about five or six down in Melbourne before we moved up to Queensland. And then we actually looked at, obviously, we were starting a business, And so we decided to sell down a few to raise capital for the business. So we sold a few off down there and we kept a few. And since we've been up here, we've also bought our own place of residence, and that's actually had really significant capital growth in it, which has been great. I always believe when you're buying your own home, that's a good tip, is you need to think of it as an investor, because it's a massive investment and you can make significant wealth off your family home if you choose right. So, we chose pretty well, I think, and we've got some good gains in that. We've bought property in our self-managed super fund up here as well. Mm. And, so we've still got some property in Melbourne and got some property up here in Queensland and Brisbane as well. So
great. That's
in a nutshell.
She also realised that not every goal is an achievable one, or even a smart one. Currently holding two houses in Melbourne and one block of land, as well as two more in Queensland, her new goal is strictly quality over quantity.
It's really important for people to have a goal, and we have that mantra 15 by 50.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really subscribe to that anymore. To me, it's all about, what you do and what your strategy is and stuff like that. So at the moment, I'm looking for a property now that has development potential to put townhouses on it. So, there's a variety of things you can do, but I guess one of my tips is don't get hung up on the numbers of things. Like a lot of people can say, at one point we had, like I said, I think we had six or seven. But realistically, the bank owned a lot of that. So, and they were in sort of lower budget areas in some of them where the capital growth wasn't massive. So, one well-placed property with a lot of equity in it is worth more than 10 that the bank owns 90% of.
Mm.
So you've got to have a think about that. It's not, don't get too hung up on the numbers of it, I guess.
Young's aha moment was not the traditional scene of falling into money, but rather the realisation that change is the best strategy.
And I think that moment made me more open-minded as an investor, because like I said, early on I was like, it's all about the cash flow. And that resonated from Margaret Lomas's books, and Steve McKnight's books. It was all about that. And I was always a bit poo-pooing all the negative gearing people. But negative gearing isn't a strategy. Negative gearing is like a tax break. That's what that is.
Mm.
But the strategy there is capital growth. If you're going after a negative geared property, you're going after capital growth. Surely you're not just chasing negative gearing for the sake of it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. And a lot of people don't understand that. So I think that aha moment was not just that I needed a growth property. It was, hang on a minute, I can't just stick with this one strategy of cash flow positive property forever, because that's just not going to pan out unless I get a whole truckload of these, and I can't see that working. I'm going to need to change, and I need to change and evolve. And that was where my mind opened to a range of different things, and that's where I am now. So, I'm still open to doing renovation and selling. We did a reno flip project a couple of years ago up here. I'm open to development. I'm open to still buy and hold. It just depends on what I need at that point in time.
Her worst investing moment was not a time of despair or loss of money, but the missed opportunities, the possible investments that she let slip through her fingers that she regrets the most.
I'm not a person who dwells on, that was a terrible thing, a terrible purchase that happened or whatever. I sort of take it all as learning and then move forward. So to try and think of what's the worst moment, I don't have really negative feelings toward anything, to be honest. It just was what it was, and I learned something from it. So I can share, for example, I think that perhaps the thing that I look back upon with the most regret is probably when you start thinking about the things you didn't buy. So it's not the things I bought that went wrong, because, like I said, I've had a few little bits and pieces, little blips, but I haven't really lost any major money. I haven't lost any money, actually, from anything, which is one of the great things about property. But I think it's the things I didn't buy and I wish I had of that were perhaps some of the worst sort of things. So I tend not to dwell on them too much. So, for example, the first property I ever tried to buy was a one-bedroom flat in Mentone in Victoria, and it was, 2-minute walk down to the beach, and the agent was sort of telling people it was going to be offers over $90,000 at the time. And so I thought, I'm in with a shot here because I've got $150 to spend. So I'm in with a good shot here, and got to the auction. It was packed, and the thing sold for $155,000. So this was, in the days of when they bait you in with certain money and then the auction sells for so much more.
Mm.
I think those days are still around to some extent.
Those would be the sales market.
yeah, but um, But yeah, like if I had bought that, the money I could have made on that. And likewise, there was another property in a really good suburb, Bayside suburb in Melbourne, and I remember I was going to buy it to live in. And I would have got a first homeowner grant. I could have lived in it and stuff. And it got up to about $350,000. And at the time, I was like, oh, that is so much money, so much money. You know, and I was buying it by myself. So I'm like, I'm going to have this massive mortgage and blah, blah, blah. And so I pulled out of this purchase. I was in it sort of in the running with someone else who was competing for it. But essentially, I stopped at $350,000. And if I look at what that property was worth now, I would just have to, I don't know, I'd have to crawl in a corner somewhere. But, you know, at the time, you know, and at the time I had no kids, I had a good income, I could have supported that mortgage. And if I had, I would have made a lot of money, but I didn't. I didn't buy it. Instead, I bought out of suburban cash flow positive by $3 a week property. And in hindsight, probably not the best move. So I think it's the things that I didn't buy that are probably some of the worst moments. But like I said, I don't dwell on my, you know, you take it as learning. You know, you do what's right for yourself at the time or what you think is right for yourself at the time, and you just have to move forward.
Currently looking for another property to add to her portfolio, Young is excited about the thrill of hunting down the perfect property again.
I think maybe because I'm back in the market at the moment. So, you know, because I run a business now and I don't, you know, I'm flat chat busy for a start, but I haven't bought property as frequently as I used to. And, you know, the last project we did was a couple of years ago now in our super fund. And, you know, a couple of years ago we did a reno flip project. So it's been a little while, I feel like anyway. but I was just been sorting out some numbers and we're back in the market. So I'm a bit excited. I get excited about the chase and the potential and looking at something with potential. So I've been having some fun looking at some sites with the development potential and really I've done a lot of education-based stuff around development in the last 2 years or so. And now really putting some of that into play in finding and assessing sites for development. So that's what I'm excited about at the minute, I think.
Wow.
And the business, obviously our business is, you know, we're helping so many people. It's so exciting to, like, we would buy at least one property a week. You know, and some weeks, you know, a couple of weekends ago I went out, I bought three properties on one day, and it's so exciting. I still get excited about buying property. They're not all for me, obviously, but
yeah.
If I'm sort of, you know, sending that excitement to the clients as well. So that's really good.
Thank you to Karen Young, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more stories like this, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.